Appreciate the testimonies this morning. They were really good. Why don't you you take a minute and pray with me real quick? Father, we are so thankful this morning that when we come here, we know that you meet us and that all that we do and say does not go unheard. And Lord, we know that you are more concerned about our needs than even we are, and you're more aware of them. And Lord, we know that when we come to you in words of praise and words of request, that you like that. And Lord, we are thankful that you listen. I pray that, Lord, there was a lot of things going against us this morning, not to have us here. Everyone here this morning took the time, took the opportunity, spent time with you, and they're here. So, Lord, I pray that you would meet us and you would meet the needs here, the things that are getting in our way, in our minds, in our hearts, the distractions, things that Satan would want to do to get us to not pay attention, that you would remove those things. And Lord, we trust you for all the requests this morning. We know that you are in charge of them, whether it's health, whether it's spiritual, whether it's just emotional things, that we can leave them in your hands. And so, Lord, we do that. Now, Lord, help us to focus on what you want from us this morning, and you want to teach us. We know that your word is all that we need this morning. I pray that it would be the food that we can have our nourishment from. And we commit this to you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, thank you for being here this morning. And like I said, I know there's always something that would cause us not to be here. And I appreciate that you are here this morning. I do want to say I have known of your pastor for a long time. I've known him, but not, I remember years ago going to his daughter's viewing when she died. My father's known him for many years. I have told my children and I told my wife and others that anyone who's done what Pastor Nash has done for so long, so faithfully, is a hero. And so I appreciate him. I know that you will enjoy your sausages. Let him know there are not many like him left in this generation of people who actually stay true to the Bible, to their convictions, and those who have done it for so long. And you will find fewer and fewer of that generation of that quality. And so give them a big hug. Appreciate them. I'm glad they could go do what they're doing this weekend. And I know it's not easy. He told me it wouldn't be easy. But this is what they needed to do. And so I appreciate him for the faith that he's had all these years. And I appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. If you want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, we'll get going. 1 Samuel 17. I've got 15 minutes. Is that right? We're good till 1:30. All right. Let me get through this with you this morning because I think it's very helpful. Now, this morning in the earlier part of the Sunday school part, we talked a lot about kind of an old Sunday school story, if you want to use that phrase, Sunday school story, a kid's story, talking about Rahab and Joshua and all those things. And you know, I grew up with those. You probably remember this too, most of you, the old flannel graph boards, where they'd put the tripod up, put the flannel graph, and then the teacher would tell you the story, and they'd put them up as they go. And, of course, David and Goliath was always one of those. It was the popular one. I remember I've worked with kids in the church for years, and we did a big night on David and Goliath on one of our kids' nights and years ago, and I built the entire actual life-size Goliath and put it up against the wall and made it look like how big he would really be. Those are fun things because David and Goliath is one of those stories. I think it's a mixture of, you know, for guys, it's like, yeah, this guy's tough. But also, it's the ultimate underdog story. You know, I love watching sports. I watch college football, college basketball. This is the time of year, and then you get into March Madness later on. We love an underdog. We love to see a little guy go up and actually have victory over somebody that isn't so big. And so this morning, when I come to this passage of Scripture, and you've been there so many times, all of us have, I want to share this with you this morning, what you need to take on giants. This is so practical, so simple, but it's very important for us because I know you're sitting here this morning and you've got your own giants. You've got your own things that are in your face that are going to cause you to have struggles. I have them. We have them together. And so I think this is helpful for you this morning, and I know it will be. If you're taking notes, I'll have them up there real simple behind me. You can write them down. They're nothing much, but just something to take with you. So let's go through this chapter, verse 17. I just want to real quick read 1 through 26, and then we'll pick it up from there. I don't want to read it all at once. It's a long chapter. But I want to just get us the background, because it might have been a while since you've been in this passage. So let's look at verse 1 of chapter 17. The Philistines gathered the armies for battle, it says, and they were gathered at Socah, which belongs to Judah, and they camped between Socah and Azekah in Ephes-Damon. Now Saul, of course, he was the king, and the men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array to encounter the Philistines. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, while Israel stood on the mountain on the other with a valley between them. So if you remember, the back then they would line up their armies, one on each side of the valley, and instead of all-out war against each other, they would choose a person who they wanted to fight against their, and they would meet, and then the victor would be the victor for all. It was a lot less bloody, cost a lot less lives, and that's what they were doing here. It says in verse 4 that the champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was clothed with scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. He also had bronze greaves on his legs and a bronze javelin slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of the spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. His shield carrier also walked before him. This guy was intimidating. He had a shield bearer. He had it all. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, "Why do you come out and draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine and your servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you're going to be servants to all of us," is basically the challenge. And obviously that's the way it worked. To the victor went the spoils. Verse 10, "And the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together. And Saul and all of Israel heard these words in the Philistines, and they were dismayed and greatly afraid. David was the son of an Ephraimite of Bethlehem in Judea, whose name was Jesse, or Judah, whose name was Jesse. He had 8 sons. Jesse was old in those days of Saul, advanced in years among men. He was mature. He was seasoned." Let's put it that way. How's that? "And 3 older sons of Jesse had gone after Saul in battle, and the names of their 3 sons who went to battle were Eliab the firstborn, the second was Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. David was the youngest. Now the 3 oldest followed Saul." Verse 15, "But David went back and forth from Saul to tend the father's flock in Bethlehem. And the Philistine came forward morning and evening, and for 40 days took his stand. Jesse said to David, his son, take now for your son or your brothers an ephah and a roasted grain, 10 loaves, and run to the camp of the brothers, and take," basically tell them, take their lunch to them and their food. Verse 18, "He took it and 10 cuts of the cheese to the commander of their 1,000. Look into the welfare of your brothers and bring back news from them. For Saul and they, all the men of Israel, are in the valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines." So David, verse 20, he did what he was told. He arose early in the morning. He left his flock with a keeper. He took the supplies and went to Jesse, commanded him. And he came to the circle of the camp where the army was going in battle array, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle array against the army. And David left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper. He ran to the battle line and entered into the order to greet his brothers." He's looking for his brothers. "As he was talking with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath, named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines, and he spoke these same words, and David heard them. When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him, and they were greatly afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who's coming up? Surely he's coming up to defy Israel. It will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." In other words, whoever gets this guy is going to be extremely rich. He's going to get all the riches of the king, including the marriage of his daughter. And David spoke to the men in verse 26 who were standing, "What will be done for this man who kills the Philistine and who takes away the reproach from Israel?" Let's stop there and we'll pick it up from there in a minute. Now, in this passage, you remember very well this story. And we just kind of went through it quickly to remind us again of it, that this was a battle going on not just between 2 armies. but between two different enemies, and that would be spiritually enemies against God and the evil one. And the enemy never ends, never gives up. That fight always starts and ends with us. And so I want to look at these. These are five killing, giant killing essentials. These are things you got to have and I got to have in our lives to face these giants. And I'm not going to make it specific to whatever it is you have. You can do that. But I think these will help you as you face your giant. Somebody had to take care of the situation. And it happened to be a little guy named David. And, you know, when we go to in our life, we're going to have giants, and they're going to have to deal with them. And so I think these are going to be five things that will help you do it. So let's look at the first one, and you can write this down on your own if you want. Number one, the first giant killing essential is purpose. I love this passage of Scripture because you see something happen here where a guy stands up. Look in verse 26. This is a purpose. You have to have a purpose if you're going to fight the giants. You've got to have a goal. You've got to have a reason you're doing it. And look what he says in verse 26. Now, this has been going on for days, this giant standing in front of the armies of the Lord. And it takes now, verse 26, David spoke to the men. He comes up to him and he asks him a question. He says, what's going to be done? And he says, what happens to the man who kills this Philistine? What's basically the reward? But look what he says in the end of verse 26. He says, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? Verse 27, the people answered and said, this will be done for him. Basically, they're repeating the fact that if you kill him, you're going to get the king's riches. Verse 28, now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he had spoke to the men. Eliab's anger burned against David. He says, what are you doing here? Now, you have to put yourself in, I have brothers. I have two brothers, and I have an older brother. I put myself in this position. Eliab is the older brother. He basically looks at his little brother and says, what are you doing here, David? You're just down here to watch a fight, aren't you? He says, why have you come down? And with whom, look at this, and with whom have you left those few sheep? Can you see the sarcasm in his brother's voice? You don't even have that many sheep. What are you doing here, kid? I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you've come down here in order to see the battle. Verse 21, but David said, what have I done now? Wasn't this just a question? And so there has to be a purpose in your giant killing. Look what he says in verse 26. Number one, stand for the living God. What will be done to the man who kills the Philistine? He says, who is this guy standing up arguing against the armies of the living God? It made him upset that someone was standing up and making fun of his God. That was his purpose. He said, I need to stand for the living God. Who is he that taunts the armies of the living God? He said, at that point, I am not going to let this continue on if I have anything to do with it. Why are you people standing here, let this man talk bad about my God? All it took was someone to have a purpose. You know, when we have the giants in our life, we have to say to those giants, who are you? Who do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? And David got it. It took a teenager like David to stand up to this giant and stand for the living God. That was his purpose. Not only that, look, flip over to the end of this passage, verse 46 and 47, and look at that real quick. Our purpose should be twofold. Stand for the living God, but also it should be that we showcase God's ability. He wanted to showcase God's ability. Verse 46, after he goes up to the giant, we'll get there in a little bit. He says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I will strike you down and remove your head from me. I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, so that all the earth may know that I am the toughest kid here. No. That there is a God, capital G, the God in Israel. And that all the assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's. So when I go to fight my giants, and this is the purpose of it. Number one, you have to stand for the living God. David said, who's going to do this? I can't walk up here and let this man continue to criticize, to make fun, to mock my God. And then he says at the end of it, you know what? I'm going to showcase God's ability, that they may know that there is a God in Israel that is the Lord who fought my battle. The battle is the Lord's. You know what's important? I love this passage of Scripture again. What's important to see here? Who is the bigger giant in this passage of Scripture? Who is the bigger giant? Who is the bigger obstacle in this passage of Scripture? You know, I read to you earlier, giant Goliath. We know about him. We've heard him since we were kids. He was about 9 feet 9 tall. He had 125 pounds of armor. He had the armor shield bearer in front of him. He had all the weapons, all the tools, all the training. And he was ugly, probably. I was going to say, I could be wrong on that one. But I know one thing, he was scary. How do I know that? Well, because for 40 days he stood there and no one would even touch the guy. And he stood there and argued and complained and mocked and said, bring somebody. But look at verse 28. Now Eliab, his oldest brother. Wait a second. Is it possible that Eliab was the biggest giant? You know, I love this passage of Scripture because it tells us that actually Goliath was the easy part of this story. David walks up and he says, who is taunting my God? I can't stand for this. His older brother, look what it says in verse 28. Eliab's older brother heard it. Eliab's anger burned against who? David. Where should his anger been against? His anger should have been burning against Goliath. And he gets mad at his little brother because his little brother couldn't stand for what they were doing against his God. The bigger giant may have been the opposition with within. And that would be his own brother was opposing the fact that David wanted to do something about this. What about this? Look at this next one. Verse 33. Skip ahead to verse 33. Then who? Then Saul said to David, you are not what? You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight him. You're just a kid, a youth. This guy's been a warrior since you've been a kid, since he was a youth. What's the biggest giant in this passage of Scripture? The biggest giant is unbelief. The biggest giant is always unbelief. It had nothing to do with Goliath. Eliab stands up and says, you can't do this, David. You're just a kid with what are you doing here? You can't even watch your own sheep. Saul the king says, you can't do this, David. You're just a kid. You have no qualifications to be here fighting this giant. And the biggest giant that day was not Goliath. The biggest giant is always, and the greatest giant is always unbelief. And in our purpose, we have to understand that when we go before our giant, we have to stand for the living God, and we have to showcase God's ability. Because it really boils down to, I'm afraid to do it, I don't have enough faith. God has the ability, and God has the greatness, and I can't let someone stand in the way. And so the purpose here is very simple. What is another thing? Now listen to this, not the biggest giant only, but what's the best option? What was the other option David had? What did Eliab tell him to do? Eliab wanted him to go back where? Go back home and watch your little sheep. That was one of the options. You know we have the option too. When you come to your trials and I come to my trials, there are basically two options. Either we, with God's help, face them, or we turn around and we cower and go back. And what's the best option? We know the best option. Don't ever turn back because of the opposition. You know what helps us do that? Purpose. Our purpose overcomes opposition. If I have purpose in my life that I am going to, number one, stand for the living God, and number two, I'm going to showcase God's ability. Then whenever something comes up in my life that I don't really want to face, I won't turn the other way. I'll stand up to the giants because of my purpose. And that's one of the first things we have to have is purpose. You walk into your life without purpose, you will be defeated over and over again. When you walk into your trials with purpose saying that, you know what, I want to make God look good. And I want to stand up and let people know that I love this God and that He is true and faithful to me. Then the giants that come your way will be easier and easier to defeat because of the belief and the faith. And so have that purpose. Let's give you another one. How about this? Number two. Another giant killing example or essential, and this is an easy one. Obviously, you got to have a person. In this passage of Scripture, there needed to be a person. Look at verse 32. Let's go ahead to verse 32. He says this. Let's pick it up in verse 29. David said, what have I done now? Wasn't just a question. He's talking to his brother. Verse 30, then he turned away from him to another and said the same thing. So he's asking everybody, what's going on? And people answer in the same way. Verse 31, when the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant, me, I, will go and fight with this Philistine. So look at what happened here in this passage of Scripture. When the giant came and we're facing our giants, there has to be a giant. There's always a giant. There's got to be a person. Verse 8, if you skip back to verse 8, what is Goliath looking for? He says here, choose me a man. Verse 10, he says this, give me a man. Verse 16, he's repeating it for 40 days. In verse 16, morning and evening, he took his stand and he says, hey, give me somebody. Bring me a man. Who do you got? And he stands there and challenges these people over and over and repeats it for 40 days. In verse 23, again, he said the same things. He spoke the same words. And what is happening here is that Goliath wanted a man. He wanted a person. And so did who? So did God. God wanted a person. And what happened in our giants is you got to have a person. You know what's interesting is that there's one guy there who is head and shoulders above the rest. Who was it? It's Saul. I'm thinking to myself that all these soldiers are standing around for 40 days. Okay, think about this. And that giant walks out every day and says, give me a man. Come on, people, chickens. Whatever he's saying, I don't know. I don't think he said chickens, but you know what I mean. And I would get irritated after a while, right? David was irritated after one time of hearing it. For 40 days this happened, and the man who was there, who was their king, who had all the resources in the world, who was the strongest physically there, he said, or they're all standing around like, you know, I wonder if Saul's going to do something about this. And they're looking out of the corner of their eye because they're like, Saul, this is day 33, and he's still there. Is he going to do something? And Saul and giant Goliath is still standing there. Hey, you got a man yet? Give me a man. And it took one person. Look at verse 23. Verse 23, he was talking with them. David now is talking to his brothers, and in the middle of this conversation, behold, the champion, a Philistine from Gath named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines, and he spoke the same words. The same words Goliath has been saying for 40 days. Now look at the next phrase. It's key. David heard them. What was the difference today as opposed to the last 40 days? David heard the words. There was a new set of ears in town. There was a new sheriff in town. There was a guy who heard the words the first time he heard them, and it was enough to infuriate him to the point of righteous indignation, where he got to say, what are you doing? No one's going to stand up and say that about my God. And it took a person. And the right person showed up. And in verse 32, I read to you, that's the turning point of this whole narrative. Verse 32, he tells the king, I'll fight this man. I'll go and fight. Now, I want to show you something, and I have it on a... I'm going to give you specific reasons, I think this is really fun, of why David was the man for the job. These are all of them, and you get your pen ready. You got that for me? Yeah, there they are. Those are all the reasons David was the man for the job. There wasn't any reason, except for one. He walked up to the king and said, I will fight. I will fight. David was the youngest one there in the group. He had no armor. He had no battle equipment. He had no weapons. He had no training. He had nothing. He had no commission. He didn't even know the king. The king was asking, who is this kid? And then all he had to have was the willing spirit to say, I will be the person who will face this giant. And the essential in giant killing is a person. You and I must be the person. Someone else is not going to fight your giant for you. I will help you. This church will help you. The struggles we go against are not on our own, but you will have to be the person to say that I will fight this giant and have the strength and ability to do it in God. It's about character. It's never about qualifications. And that's what I love about the Bible. Most of the people, almost all the people in the Bible would have never fit the resume. You know, you send out a resume and you list your qualifications for people and, oh, wow, this looks good on paper. David had nothing. What did it say? Watch your few sheep. He was a stinky shepherd with a few sheep. But he would be the person to fight this giant. The essential is a person. Let's look at the third one. Let's move on to the third one. Verses 34 through 37, it takes precedence. One of the key tools, the essential that you have to have and I have to have to fight giants is precedence. In other words, you have things in your life that came prior to this giant that makes you ready for this one. See what I'm saying? We talked about some this morning. We talked about it in Sunday school as well. David functioned as a faith-based individual. Look at verse 34. David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion and a bear came and took the lamb from his flock. I went out after him, I attacked him, and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him." So matter of fact here, by the way, he says, by the way, a while back, I just killed a bear with my bare hands. Verse 36, "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. Verse 37, he said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." What's that? That's precedence. That's, you know what, in my past, I've went through some things. Even though I'm a young guy, David said, I went through some things that was going to help me take down this giant. I killed a bear with my bare hands. I killed a lion. And that, you know who was with me during those times? It was God who killed those lion and that bear for me. And the precedence is saying, now that I walk up to this big old giant, he's a piece of cake. Because I've been there, done that. God was there with me. God was there and done and did that. And precedence tells us that. He credited the Lord for his deliverance. He understood why he had victory. David didn't say, "I did it myself." He said, "The Lord delivered me from the hand of the bear and the lion." It's the same God who's going to deliver me from the hand of this Goliath guy. It's precedence. You know, number two on this, not only do you function as a faith-based individual, but God wastes no experience in your life. Don't ever forget, God wastes no experience in your life. That's precedence. We talked about Rahab this morning and how the children of Israel went through their battles to the Red Sea, and that helped them go on to the next battles and the next walls and the next Jordan River. It's the same way with this. God wastes no experience in your life. They are foundational for the next acts of faith. In order to walk up to Goliath with confidence and faith in God, he had to look back and say, you know what, I had faith and God gave me deliverance before. And for you, sometime in your life, God has done it already. I know he has. You were sick, he healed you. You were lost, he saved you. You were in trials and he brought you out. And you know what? Those were there because there's another giant in your face soon. And that precedence will let you stand up and take care of that giant just the same. And so the giant killing essential that you have is precedence. God wastes no experience in your life. You know what's funny about this? Eliab made fun of him about going and watching his few sheep. But all of a sudden, the shepherding that he was not so significant after all. Because his shepherding made him ready. If he wasn't shepherding, what would he have not killed with his bare hands? Right. Eliab can make fun of it all he wanted, but the shepherding wasn't so insignificant anymore. Because it made him what he was ready for. And all that stuff we go through in our lives that we feel like is not important and is difficult and might just seem like shepherding, God wastes no experience in your life so that the giants that come in your life can be taken care of. Thirdly, precedence is the soil in which confidence is to grow. Precedence is the soil in which confidence is to grow. David said, I read to you a minute ago, he said, and he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. Verse 37. He had no doubt about it. Why didn't he have any doubt about it? Because he had been there with something else before and God brought him through it. Now he walks up to the giant and he says to the people, to the king and everyone else, he will deliver me. Now that takes a lot of courage, a lot of confidence. That's the kind of confidence we have in God though when you go through those things he brought you through. And he brought you through it and gave you the faith. The crucial results of God's precedence in our lives, God will not leave us alone. God will not forsake us. And God will not let us be defeated by a giant if we stand up to that giant in faith. And so, it is precedence. I don't know about you, and most of you are older than I am, seasoned more, how's that? Experienced. You have more precedence than I have on some things, by years. But I can tell you, God has brought me, just like you, through lots of stuff that were not pleasant, but they were there for me to face my next giant. I can remember, I talked about this a while back to some people, because when our youngest son was born, he was, of course, with Downs, he has a heart condition. So within 6 months of that, he had to have heart surgery. So here I am in my, my mid-20s, I guess, back then. I don't know, maybe that's 30. I can't keep track. And, I had to be in my upper 20s. He was born with this heart condition that would have had to been repaired. And so for me, I mean, my wife, like, okay, we'll just listen to doctors, we'll do what we're supposed to do. A little bit frightening for us. And when he's 6 months old, it's basically the doctor goes in, it's like doing heart surgery. He's told us like a ship in a bottle. And they do the surgery. And, you know, it was, of course, scary at the time. But we trusted the Lord and we best we could, and we expected the best, and God took him through and gave him a healthy heart, and that's fine. And they said at the time, you know, there's a chance this will have to be done again someday. Well, within the last 3 years, I think it's been 3 or 4 years now, he had to do it again. And so we go to the doctor, and this time, do you think I approached it the same as I did the first time? I did in a way, and I didn't in a way. Because I've been there before, and God led it through, it was a little bit easier this time. Was it easy? No, it was scary. No, you know, you don't just do open-heart surgery and think it's a day at the park. We were nervous. We went through it. But the whole time, I had this confidence in God that he brought him through before. If he wants to bring him through, he'll be fine. Because that's precedence in our lives. And that's a big deal. It was a big deal, but it was a lot easier. You know, I have a friend in town who's a pastor who had a heart valve replaced. He went through a extremely difficult situation with his heart. Was it the same as my son's? No. Was it actually more? But if those steps, I know someone who had a heart transplant, an even bigger one. And you know, the precedence is there because God leads us along. So he says, you know, I'm not going to leave you alone. I didn't leave you alone before. You're going to be fine in this one. This giant is just one more in a long line of giants. So get ready for more. And I'm going to build you up and make you ready. That's precedence. And he does that for us. I want to give you another one. How about another giant killing essential in this passage of Scripture? Verse 38. And that's preparation. Verse 38, preparation. Saul clothed David with the garments and put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with his armor. David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk. I love this. He tried to walk. He had not tested them. David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. David took them off. And he took for his stick in his hand, and he chose for himself, verse 40, 5 smooth stones from the brook. He put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even his pouch, his sling in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Isn't that amazing what happens here? When we face giants, we have to have preparation. Number one, preparation takes time. It takes time. God takes time in our lives to make us ready. It's interesting here that David had to put on the king's armor. Head looked pretty funny. Couldn't wear it. And what did David say? I can't wear this because I have not tested them. I have not had enough time to see if this is going to work for me. I haven't used this. I have not experienced this. It don't fit me. It's not right for me. I haven't been through this before. And preparation takes time. You know, here's some things about preparation. Take the time to prepare on the easy days. Prepare on the easy days. On the times when there are no giants in your face right now, that's the days you need to be getting ready. When David was out there in the desert watching sheep, slinging his slingshot, and fighting off the predators on the easy days, he was ready. When we're not under pressure, don't wait for the giant to be in your face to get ready. You're too late. God has given you this morning. God has given you tomorrow morning, maybe, in your own quiet time with Him. God has given you Wednesday, when the giant's not in front of your face, hopefully, to get ready for when He is. And take the time to prepare on the easy days. The easy days that we have, where we like to take the time off and relax, which is fine. But don't forget to prepare yourself for the giant. David was doing that on the everydays as well. The easy days and the everydays. In the course of every single mundane, simple life that we live, take time to prepare for the days of battle. On the everyday life. You know, as David watched sheep every day by himself on the every mundane days, what was he doing? I believe he was practicing with his slingshot. On the everydays, getting ready. He had lots of time to make up targets and shoot that thing. On the days where he didn't have a whole lot going on, watching the sheep, on his everyday life, he was getting ready for the days when he needed that slingshot. And the days that you have every day, you have time to prepare to have your slingshot ready for those giants that come. And it'll make it a lot better when you face them. Preparation takes time. Preparation takes tools. Look what it says in the Scripture. It says here, I can't fight with his armor, verse 40. What's he do then? He takes his own tools. He took his stick in his hand, and this is what it says. He chose for himself 5 smooth stones. He put them in the shepherd's bag, which was his own, and his pouch, and then he got the sling, and he took his own tools. The preparation we have to have in our lives to fight giant takes time, but it takes tools. It's that what it says there is it was carefully well thought out. When it says he chose for himself the stones, he didn't just walk up there and grab a handful of stones. He says the Bible says he chose for himself, which means he carefully did it. He purposely picked what he wanted to best fight the battle. He knew what kind of stones he needed in his slingshot because he prepared. He knew what kind of stones would fly the best and what would work. And it's preparation. Choose for yourself. I want to give you five real simple things. These are real practical for preparation. Number one, spend time with the Word. You know these. These are some of the things you can use in your life. Spend time with the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Know the Word of God. Number two, spend time with good books. Spend time with good books. Choose for yourself your stones. Choose for yourself the weapons. Have good books in your life. What's the books that you read, things that will help you? There are so many of them, it's crazy anymore. You can pick up any book any given day, and it will make you more prepared for battle. God has brought people through battles that I've never been to. And you know what? They wrote about them. Doesn't hurt me one bit to read what they wrote, right? One of my favorite books I read lately, you may have read it, is The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom. Now, I'm telling you, she faced some giants. Corrie Ten Boom was, I mentioned her before here. But what does it hurt me to read that book? No, it only makes me more prepared for my own giant. So pick some good books and read them. Make it your aim to be able to answer these two questions. Number one, where are you reading in God's Word, or what? And number two, what good books are you reading, or have you recently read? Those are just simple, practical things. What can I say as I prepare my tools to fight the battles I have? Where am I at in my Bible reading right now? What am I reading? What topic? What study? And number two, what good books have I put into my life lately that have helped me? Here's a couple other things. Spend time with quality people like you're doing right now. Spend time with quality people. Iron sharpens iron. Spend time or participate in your local church. Perfect. You know how to get prepared for battle? Where do we send out people for battle from? Right here, in the church. Spend time in that. Participate in it. And then spend time with all the spiritual resources. We have more spiritual resources in our day and age than we've ever had in the world, ever. You mentioned Ken Ham before. You want spiritual resources? We know all about it. There's a whole pile of them. Turn on the websites. Turn on the TVs. Open the books. And get the resources. And you know what that does for us? It's all part of the armor building. It's all part of the tool belt. So that when I walk up to the giant, I can rely on those things like David did when he reached down and got his stones. Let's look at the last one. I'll get you out of here. The last one. What do we have to have for giant killing? And that is power. Very simple power. Verse 45 and 46. I read this to you earlier. You know the story in the meantime. He walks up, gets the stones. They approach each other. Verse 43, he taunts them. Philistine says, am I a dog? You come with your sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Philistine also said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds. So he's mocking him. Verse 45, listen to this. You know it well. You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. And this day the Lord will deliver me up to your hands. I will strike you down and remove your head from you. Now this is amazing. You have to listen to what he's saying here. He's taunting a man who has no chance against. I'm going to take you down, Mr. Goliath, and I'm going to cut your head off, and I'm going to carry your head around. And he says, the reason I'm going to do it is so that everyone here and everyone else knows that you are God. My God, that there is a God in Israel, and then that the assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into my hands. And that took power, verse 48. And it happened when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine, and David put his hand in his bag and took from his bag. Now, he had five stones. I really think he was going to take out all of Goliath's brothers, too. He didn't need to, though. He took one stone, and it says he struck him in the forehead. He fell down. He ran up and used his sword on his head and cut it off. And so listen, there's power that is needed to face your giants. Now, everything I said before is good. But void of this one, we will be defeated every time, and that is God's power. It is supernatural power. He said, listen, David said, the Lord's going to give you into my hands. The battle is the Lord's. It is him who will give me the strength. And I love this because he always relies on God's strength. It's supernatural. But also there is a human element here, and we can't forget that. There is a human element. It took an actual person, David, to do this in God's power. And so we have supernatural strength. But we have a human element. He says, I will strike you down. I mean, God could have just struck the giant down without using David. He could have. But there's always, God always uses his power along with human people, us, to display his greatness. So that they can say this little ruddy kid named David, who was a shepherd, how did he do that? David said, I didn't do it. It was God who did it. And that's the power that God gives. Listen to this, though, verse 48. Now, two things about his part of it. He was aggressive. Verse 48, it happened, the Philistine rose and drew to meet him, that what? David ran quickly. He wasn't afraid. He was ready for the battle. And the power that he had in his life was shown that he was aggressive. It was God who made him run to that. He didn't walk away. He wasn't hiding. He wasn't standing there in a group huddled around like Eliab and the brothers talking about how are we going to take this guy out? I'm scared. He had the power of God in his life, and he was able to run to the giant. And then not only was he aggressive, but he was accurate. Verse 49, he struck the Philistine on the forehead. Now, that was either supernaturally guided stone, I'm sure it was, or it was because he was good with his slingshot. But either way, it took God's power and the human element along with it to knock down that giant. And it took that power. You know, I know you are. You're thankful for God's power this morning. We get up here and you talk about how you didn't want to come to church this morning. You know why you're at church? God's power got you to church this morning. And that's the giant that gets defeated every day. And so take that power of God and use it to take out your giants. What is needed in our lives? I'll tell you a couple things real quick and we're done. What's not needed? What's not needed to fight giants? Jealous, angry soldiers. We talked about them, like Eliab. Weak, empty superiors, like the king. We don't need weak, empty leaders. We need people who are powerful and who will stand up. They had a king who wouldn't even stand up. We don't need untested, unnecessary swords and shields. And we don't need spineless, heartless sissies. We need to have the power of God in our life. And David walks up and sees all those things. He sees the shields that don't need be needed to use, the swords. He sees a leader that won't stand up. He sees his brother standing there who is heartless and afraid. And he says, you know what? You can't do this to my God. And so through his life, he had purpose. He was the person, the precedence in his life, the preparation, and then the power of God. Those are five giant killing essentials that you need to have. If you take those in your life and put them into yourself and invest in those things. All of us have been there, and I guarantee you know this to be true, that you might walk out of here today, if you don't already have one, straight into a Goliath. And you need to be ready for it. I need to be ready for it. I hope you are, and we can pray for each other that we are. And we'll take these things and put them in your tool belt and use them and take on the giants. I appreciate your testimonies this morning, because there are a lot of things we're facing. Not just in a personalized, as a nation, as a church of a whole. Your pastor is facing things. Everybody's facing things. And so take these things and use them in your life. And I know that God will give you victory. We're guaranteed. We're going to have it. We use these things. Lord, thank you for this morning. And for these folks here, Lord, we know that you want the best for each one of us. And you're going to give us victories that only you can give us. We claim them this morning. We thank you for your love. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Appreciate you. Let's just have a word of prayer. I'm not going to do an extended. I'll just have a word of prayer. My wife left anyway. So. If you have any needs this morning, I know you do. You can come forward and pray. You can pray at your seat. My only concern is that whatever your giant is in your life, that you take it to the Lord and use his power to get through it. The biggest thing we do is we try to do it ourselves. And we can all get up and say, well, I got God's power in my life. But when the truth of the matter is, a lot of times we try and try, and then we realize, I can't do this. So let's just bow our heads and pray. Take a few minutes in your own seat. Spend some time asking the Lord to help you defeat the giants in your life, and ask this morning that you give us all we need to be victorious. And we trust you for it. Give us a great week this week as we go forward. Give us opportunities to reach out to others and opportunities to face our giants with your power. Pray for each one in this room this morning that you give them a special blessing. And Lord, for them to be out this morning, I pray that you would bless them for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much.